All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning, let's begin. To those of you here with us in Shul, to those who are with us on Zoom and on YouTube, another beautiful week of Emir Tashem learning together. One of today's daf is Kuf Mem Beis 142, and we are actually picking up at the new Perek on Kuf Mem Aleph on Beis. That's where we left off yesterday evening. So I want to begin by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Av, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, with the hope and prayer that this Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov filled with joy and the eternal Beis HaMikdash. The week of learning sponsors, Dr. and Mrs. Gavant, in honor of Dr. Gavant reaching an age halfway between Zikna, seniority, and Seva, ripe old age. Okay, beautiful. V'hamevin yavin. I mazel tov to Dr. Gavant on the occasion of this special birthday. Also, week of learning dedicated by Yaakov and Monica Luxembourg in the merit of a complete and enduring refuah for Aiden Shalom Ben Alta Breino. We also have a day of learning sponsors, one of our 9 days learnings, Jeremy and Rachel Lassen, in memory of Rachel's grandparents who survived the Holocaust, Esther Shane Lobas Elimelech, and Mordechai Ben Shlomo Halevi. We hope them in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, the families in Nechama, and all of those who require a Rufu will have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And I will say with that, let us begin. So we are picking up again, Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah, Notel Adam Espino, V'ha'evin B'yado, so a person can pick up his child, even if the child is holding a stone. So Rabbi says, you're going to see over here, kind of continuing a little bit in the sugi that we started yesterday, about tiltul min atzad, indirect movement of mukta. So in this particular situation, I want to pick up my child on Shabbos, but my child is holding something that is mukta. In this case, the mukta item is a stone. So the Mishnah says this is permitted, even though, by definition, by picking up my child, I am picking up the stone as well. Similarly, v'kalkal, I can pick up a basket, v'ha'evin b'socha, I can pick up a basket even though the stone is inside the basket. O'metaldolin shuma tameya im tahora, and again, I could carry truma tameya, truma that is tame, with truma that is tar. Now, obviously, truma tameya is totally unusable, right? It serves no purpose on Shabbos, and as such is mukta. But I could go ahead and carry truma tameya together with truma tahora. Rabbi Huda v'machulin, same thing together with chulin. Rabbi Huda omer af ma'alin es hamaduma be'achadumeya. So Rabbi Huda says you could even we'll see exactly what this means in just a moment. But you could even lift up meduma with a 100 to 1 ratio. Now, what is this talking about? Look at Rashi. This is the first of the widest lines in Rashi. Af ma'alin es hamaduma. This is actually a very interesting halacha. Sa'at truma shenafla l'kuf shalchulin. If you have one sa'a of truma that fell into 100 parts chulin, dekaimalon da'ola mutar lahaloso l'sa'at truma mehen b'shabbis v'yachulin mutarin. Well, so listen to this halacha. If you have a mixture of 100 parts chulin to 1 part truma, the truma is batal in the chulin. That's the halacha. So truma is batal in a mixture of chulin in 100 to 1 ratio. But there is an interesting rabbinic enactment, which is even though the truma is batal, you must still separate out 1 chelik, right? One hundredth. Ultimately, and give it and set it aside as truma. So what's this interesting halacha? Even though the truma is batal. But still, Chazal didn't want you to get benefits from Truma. So they say you just separate out a portion of Truma. So Rabbi Huda is saying you are permitted to go ahead and separate out that part of Truma on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "V'lo arminu metakinu." See, Rabbi said, I would have thought that such a practice would be Asar on Shabbos. Why would it be Asar on Shabbos? We'll say the same reason you're not allowed to tithe. You can't take Truma Semaisus on Shabbos. Right, because the act of taking Truma Semaisus on Shabbos is tikkun mana, is fixing something. So I might have thought, so too, I can't separate out this 1/100th of Truma. So nevertheless, again, Rabbi Huda says, it is permitted. Again, we'll see in the Mishnah why this is. Says the Gemara, Amarava, Hotzi Tino Chai, V'kis Talit. So now, we're using the first case in the Mishnah as the springboard for our conversations. Remember again, the first case in the Mishnah was, my child is holding a stone, but I want to pick up my child. The halacha is I can pick up my child even though he's holding a davar hamukta. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hotzit, you know, Chai v'kis talei b'tzavaro. If you pick up a living child and he has a pouch around his neck, chayiv mishum kis. The halacha is that you're chayiv for carrying the kiss. You're chayiv for carrying the pouch. Okay, Rashi says, Chai Mishum Kis V'lo Mishum Tinok. So we'll see why you're not Chai for the child in just a moment. However, Tinok Meis, if Rachmana Litzlan, the child is dead, V'kis Taloi B'tzavaro, and the person lifts up a child who is deceased, and the pouch is around the child's neck. So ultimately, again, Pater. One is Pater. So we'll say, what's the Pshat? So the Gemara says, Tinok Chai V'kis Taloi B'tzavaro, Chai Mishum Kis. So remember again, we just said before that if you pick up a living child, and he has a pouch around his neck, you're Chai for carrying the kiss. Ay, v'lechayiv nami mishum tinok. But why would I not be chayiv for carrying the child? So we'll say this you already saw before. Rova k'rabi nosan svir lo do'amar chay no se es atzmo. See, we'll say we have a general principle that says chay no se es atzmo, which means what? A living person carries himself, which means we'll say that when you are alive, a living being, by definition, consciously, not even consciously, redistributes its own weight. So because that's where expression dead weight comes from, right? When the person is dead, so there's no redistribution of weight. This is why, again, a corpse feels heavier than a living person. So the Gemara says, so therefore, when you're going to pick up the child, so there is no din, there is no chiyuv there, because chay no se es atzmo. But ultimately, again, you will be chay for the kiss, you'll be chay for going ahead and picking and carrying the pouch. So what says here, this chilik, I'm not chayiv ultimately, again, for carrying the child, this living child, because chay no se es atzmo. But I am chayiv for carrying the kiss, for carrying the pouch, that is around the child's neck. I don't understand. Why isn't the pouch bottled to the child? Might as well say, why don't we view the pouch as an accessory to the child? And therefore, if I'm going to be potter for lifting up the child because chayno se es atzmo, I should be potter on the kiss as well. Milo tnanatro, did we not learn? Es achay b'mita, potter afalamita. They will say, if you carry a living person on a bed, you're potter for carrying the bed. Why? Because the bed is considered to be bottled to the living person. Shamita tfilalo. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Mita lagabe chay mevatli le. So a bed is bottled to a living person. On the flip side, kis lagabe tinok lo mevatle. But I will say, ultimately, again, a pouch around the living child's neck is not bottled. Look at Rashi. Mita lagabe chay mevatle. It's four lines from the bottom of Rashi. Vios tfilalo sharit sarichlo. See, Rabbi say, here's what the Gemara says. Something could be bottled to a living person when that item is considered to be necessary. When the item is not necessary, it's not bottled. So therefore, I will say, if you're carrying a living person on the bed, bipashtos, the person needs the bed. Therefore, the bed is bottled to the person. So the same way again, so follow the train of thought. I'm not chayiv for carrying a living person. That's halacha l'maisa. Why not? Because chay no se es atzmo, a living person carries himself, and therefore, if he needs the bed is considered bottled to him. So if I carry him on the bed, I'm not chayiv for the person or not chayiv for the bed. On the flip side, the Gemara says, a pouch, which Bepashtos is like, whatever, some kind of toy or something for the kid. So that's not a necessity. That's not a necessity. And therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, if I carry the living child, I'm not chayiv for the child, but I will be chayiv for the pouch. I'll be chayiv for the pouch. So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, goes weiter. Tinok meis, v'kis t'ayla b'tzavara. But one second, what happens if the child, Rechmanos Tzlan, is deceased? But the pouch is around his neck. What's the halacha? Pater. So one is pater. The Gemara says pater. V'lechay mishum tinok. I don't understand. Why wouldn't I be chay for carrying the child? In other words, we just said before, the only reason you're pater from carrying a living child is why? Chay no se es atzmo. So obviously that doesn't apply to a deceased child. So why would I not be chay for carrying the deceased child? The Gemara says, this is incredible. The Gemara says, Rava k'Rav Shimon svirle. Because Rava holds like Rav Shimon. Why? Da'amar komalacha sheinetzricha legufa pater alea. Because Rosh Reb Shimon holds that any malacha shenetzricha legufa, malacha that is done not for its intended purpose. And I was supposed to say, let's analyze this just a moment. In general, there's a malacha called hotzah. Why do you do the malacha of hotzah? Why does one perform the malacha of hotzah on Shabbos? Because I have an item in location A, and I really want it to be in location B. So therefore, I move it. When a person moves a corpse, it's not the pshat that they want it in location B. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? I just don't want it in location A. I was supposed to say, but we assume that the reason a person is moving a corpse on Shabbos is because they don't want the corpse in their home. So in this case, when the person is moving the tinok mace, it's not the pshat that he's looking to, because he ideally wants to get to point B. He just doesn't want to point A, which is his home. That's a malacha shenetzricha legufa. That's a malacha done not for its intended purpose, and therefore one will be pater. So the Gemara suggests that's Rava Shita. That's why Rava holds that halacha l'maisa, if one carries the deceased child, one is pater, because it is a malacha she'ino tzricha l'gufa. So the Gemara says, t'nan noto adamas benova evan biyado. But one second. So now what we've established is that halacha l'maisa, if you carry a living child, and the child has a pouch around his neck, what's the halacha? You're pater on the child, because chayno se'es atzma, but what? You're chai for the pouch. But I don't understand, how does that stem with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that a person could pick up his child, even though the child is holding a stone in his hand. To which the Gemara says, Tidah noto adam esbava evan biyado, omri debe rabianai, betinok sheyesh lo ga'aguin al aviv. So we'll say, what's the pshat? What's the case? The case is where a child has longings or yearnings for his father. What does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Betinok sheyesh lo ga'aguin al aviv. Rashi says, shim lo yitlenu yachle. The case over here is the child's having like a shtickle tantrum. And if you don't go out and lift up the child's going to get ill. Not sakanas nefashas. So I was like, because sakanas nefashas, remember again, whenever you get to the realm of sakanas nefashas, that's no longer a question even. So we're not talking about sakanas nefashas. Rather again, v'lo hemitu tilto shlobi adayim emakom sakana. V'af agav lo sakanas nefesh gemura, ela sakanas choli. So we're listen to this. So therefore the Gemara suggests, what's the case where you could pick up your child even though he's holding something muktza? What's that case? Where the child is having a little bit of a tantrum, and if you don't pick up the child, it's not going to have a good effect on him. He could become ill, not deathly ill, not dangerously ill, but you know, we'll say he's going to have a tantrum and it's going to have a negative impact on him. Then the Mishnah says that halacha l'maisa, you could go ahead and pick him up, even though he is holding something muktzah. See, even something was about to say, you know, there's an incredible musr, a profound musr in this Gemara. What do you see from here? You see from here that when the child is holding something asr, if he has ga'aguin, if he has yearning for his father, so his father can pick him up. What's it? You hear the incredible musr? See, a lot of times in life, we are like that tinuk, we are like that child that is holding on to the Evan, that is holding on to something mukta. Because a lot of times in life, we go through life and we hold on to all the wrong things. We hold on to bad habits. We hold on to bad behaviors. But here's the amazing part. If you have ga'aguin la'aviv, if you have a yearning and a pining and a desire for your father, even though you're not yet ready to let go of the things that are holding you back, he will still lift you up. It's the incredible Moser Haskil. The ikar in life is ga'aguin la'aviv. If you yearn for your father and you want him in your life, you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you're not ready to put down the Evan of negative behaviors, of tithes, of detrimental character traits, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want me and if you need me, I'll lift you up no matter what. Says the Gemara, top of Kuf Mem Beis, my area Evan. So why only Evan? So we'll say, why are we setting this up as a case of an Evan? Remember again, the Mishnah could have also just said, the child's holding a davar muktza, right? The child's holding a muktza item. Why do you have to set it up as an Evan? Afilu dinar nami, even a coin. To which the Gemara says, Alama amarava, lo shana ela Evan, aval dinar asa. We have Rava on record saying explicitly, this halacha only applies to a stone, but for example, wouldn't apply to a coin. So for example, Rabbosei, what Rava is saying is as follows. If the child is having a tantrum, he's having ga'aguin la'aviv, and his father needs to pick him up. So if he's holding a stone, the father could pick him up. But if he's holding a coin, then the father would have to first get the child to drop the coin before he could pick him up. Why? So listen to this. So the Gemara says, here's a simple distinction. Because Evan enough la'la lo'asi avua le'esuye. So we'll say, because a very simple idea. When it comes to a stone, if the child will drop it, the father is not going to go and scoop it up. Dinar inafil asi avua la'asuye. We'll say, but if the child's holding a dinar and he's holding a coin and the child drops it, what could happen? Inadvertently, the father could go and pick it up. We'll say, not intentionally. But again, he sees the coin rolling away, he'll inadvertently pick up the coin. Therefore, Rava says, the only license to pick up the child having the tantrum on Shabbos, if he's holding a davar on muktzah, would be an item that the father would not be tempted to pick up should the child drop it. So the Gemara says, Tanya kavase de Rava. We have a brisa that supports Rava. Hamotzi kelim mikufalim umunachim al kseifo. This, so let's listen to this. A person walks out on Shabbos, and his he has clothing, but his clothing is folded and like laying on top of him. They're sitting on his shoulder. And his shoes and his rings are in his hand. What's the halacha? Chayiv. Or as we'll say, if you go ahead and you carry your clothing out, he will be chayiv for otsa on Shabbos. But if you are wearing the clothing, then ultimately again you will be potter. Because Rabbi says again, once you're wearing clothing, it's an accessory. Hamotzi adam v'kilav al v'sandal baraglav v'tabal sabiyadav potter. Similarly again, we'll say if you carry a person. So if you carry a person on Shabbos. So remember again, we paskin chai nosei es atzmo, that a living person carries himself. So I'm carrying Ruven on Shabbos, but Ruven's wearing his clothing. He's wearing his clothing, but nevertheless, again, I'm potter. Why? Because again, Ruven's clothing are considered to be his accessory, as long as he's wearing them. Rabbi say again, if I carry Ruven, and Ruven's going ahead and carrying his clothing, then Einachinami, I will be chayiv for carrying his clothing. So Rabbi say, see over here that halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, the normal circumstances, you are chayiv for carrying someone who's carrying something that they're not supposed to be carrying. Right? So again, in this particular case, if I pick up Ruven, and Ruven's carrying, not wearing his clothing, but carrying his clothing, and then what happens? I carry Ruven out. I'm not chayiv for Ruven. Why? Because chay no se es atzmo. But I will be chayiv ultimately for carrying clothing. So Rav is saying same idea. Under normal circumstances, we'll say if you carry a child and the child's carrying something, you're chayiv for carrying that item. The exception to this rule is if the child is having a tantrum, and if you don't pick up the child, he's going to get ill, and he's holding something that were he to drop it, you, the father, would not go out of your way to pick up. Then you can pick him up on Shabbos. You can pick him up on Shabbos. And I will say, but again, just the takeaway for this is that halacha lemaisa, the child is having a tantrum and he's holding something muktzah, you can pick up the child. Remember, that's a din in muktzah, Rabbi Osai, not a din in hotzah. That's different than a situation of a child who's holding something. So let me take a step back. We paskin chay nosei es atzmo, which means, it's very important halacha. Let's say you're in a place where there is no eruv, and your child is walking, but then your child has a tantrum, needs to be picked up. What's the halacha? You could pick up a child as long as that child, you could pick up a child, even if there's no eruv. Because we assume, we don't view it in halacha as if you're carrying that child, but rather chay nosei es atzmo, that a living person carries themselves. But I will say, but the issue is, if that child is holding something, so remember again, from a muktzah perspective, if the child's holding something and they're having a tantrum, you could pick them up. From a hotzah perspective, from a carrying perspective, let's see, in Shul Rabim, that could present halachic problems. So I just want to distinguish between those two cases. If the child's having a tantrum, holding something muktzah, you could pick up the kid. But that doesn't give you the license to ultimately transport an item that they are carrying. Good, says the Gemara. Ka'kala va'evim b'socham. So remember again, the next case was that if you have a basket and there is a stone inside of the basket. So the Mishnah say you could carry the basket. Vamai, tehevi kalkala basis ledavra. So we'll say, why is that? Why, if the basket has a stone inside of it, isn't the basket a basis? So we'll say, basis is any item that is a base for muktzah. And becoming a base for muktzah makes the item muktzah itself. So if there's a stone is muktzah. So if there's a stone inside the basket, then the basket should become a basis and should be asur to go out and move it. So what's going on here? To which the Gemara says, Amra barachana, Amra biyochanan, hacha bekalkala malaya peres askinun. Aye, what's the case? The case, well, yes, there is a stone inside the basket, but it is a basket that is filled with fruit. So we'll say, so because it's filled with fruit, therefore again, we'll say the halacha is, this is what's called a basis ledavar ha'asr v'davar ha'mutar. It is something that is a basis, ultimately for what? For something that is prohibited and something that is permitted. Something that is a basis for both prohibited and permitted items can be moved on Shabbos. Rabbi said, this is the paradigmatic example of this, is your Shabbos table. Let's say, for example, you light Shabbos candles on your Shabbos table. So the halacha, dining room table, so the halacha is, but you also have your food, your challahs, your table could become a basis, ladavar ha'asr v'davar ha'mutar. But the halacha is when the item is a basis, a base, for muktzah and non-muktzah items, that base can be moved. So therefore, the Gemara suggests, the case over here in the Mishnah is where the basket has a stone. That is true, but it also has fruit. That's why it can be moved. Aye, the Gemara says, "V'leshdinu l'peri." So v'leshdinu l'peri v'nishti le'evin v'naktinu l'biadayim. So we'll say, but I have a better idea. Why don't you just spill everything out of the basket? spill everything out of the basket, and then recollect the fruit and put the fruit back in the basket, then get rid of the stone. We'll say, what's the case? The case over here is where you have fruit, ultimately, again, that if they get on the ground, will get soiled. So because of that, you can't empty the contents of the basket onto the ground. So because they can't empty the basket, because the basket is a basis, l'davara asra v'davara hamutra, therefore it can be moved. So the Gemara says, Vilar inu niuri. So say, so why not just go ahead? Why not just go ahead and just kind of move around the contents so that you could just spill out the stone and leave the rest of the contents in the basket? Amra chera ashi amarava hacha bikakala pichusa askinan de even gufa nasis tovan lakakala. What's case? We'll say this is about a basket that had a hole in it. So because it had a hole in it, therefore halacha lamaisa, again, the stone actually filled the hole. So the stone is actually serving a pivotal purpose for the basket, and therefore, again, it cannot be moved out. So therefore, the ruling of the Mishnah teaches me that what? That halacha lamaisa, as long as the basket has not only a stone, but also fruit, the basket becomes a basis, l'davar ha'asr v'davar ha'mutra, base for permitted and prohibited items, and therefore can be moved on Shabbos. Metaltel and Shuma, so we'll say next, we say you can move Shuma Tahora with Shuma Tzimei and Chulin. Amar Rav Chisda lo shana ela she'tahora lamata u'tzimei lamala. That's only about safe what? If the Shuma Tahora, right, the Tamei Shuma, was on the bottom of the basket, and the Shuma Tzimei was on the top of the basket, then about so you can move them all together, because again, because the Shuma Tzimei is blocking your way of getting to the Shuma Tahora. Aval, Tahor lamala u'tzimei lamata. But if the Shuma Tahora is on top and the Truma Tzimei is on the bottom, Shakya Leila Tahora Vishavik Leila Tzimei. Or say, just go ahead and what? Meaning if the Truma Tahora is on top, just scoop out the Truma Tahora and leave the Truma Tzimei in the basket and move on. But I don't understand, even if the Truma Tahora is on the bottom, why not go ahead and what? Empty out the contents of the basket and recollect it. Same answer. So what are we dealing with over here? That the truma in question, if it's emptied out onto the dirt, then enachinami, you will soil the produce and it'll be unusable. So we'll say again, you begin to see this idea of moving a basket with permitted and prohibited items really is only supposed to be used in a situation where you can't get the permitted contents out of the basket. But if you could get the permitted contents out of the basket and don't have to rely on transporting this basket with the prohibited item in it, it seems to be it's halachically preferable. So we'll say the Braisa says as follows, you could carry on Shabbos Truma Tzimei, right, Truma that is Tamei, with Truma that is Tahora, and vimachulin, bein she tahora lamala utmea lamata, bein she tmea lamala utahora lamata. So we'll say, no matter what the positioning of the truma tahora is, on top, on bottom, it doesn't make a difference, you could carry it. Yufta de Rav Chisda, this seems to refute the position of Rav Chisda, right? Because what Rav Chisda was saying, that halacha lamaisa, the only license to carry the basket with the truma tmea is only when the truma tahora is on the bottom, the tmea is on top, and as such, there's no way to access the tahora. To which the Gemara says, "Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda will say, no. Masnisin letzorech gufo, braisa letzorech mekoma." Oh, very interesting. The Mishnah is talking about where halacha lemaisa, you need the space that the basket occupies. The braisa is talking about a case where halacha. I'm sorry. The Mishnah is talking about a case letzorech gufo, where ultimately, again, you have a permitted use for the contents of the basket itself. Rashi says, Shetzarch l'Torah, which means you need Truma Tahora, versus the Braisa, which is Torah Tzarech Mekomo. You just need the space that the basket occupies. To which the Gemara says, My duch gei Rav Chisda lo'okmei masnis l'Tzarech Kufo. Why does Rav Chisda need to set up the Mishnah as talking about a case where you want the Truma Tahora itself, Tzarech Kufo? Amurava masnisin kavasei daika, because we'll say the Mishnah seems to really infer this. How so? Diktani sefa maos sha'al hakar. So we'll say it's actually the next Mishnah that if you have money on a mattress or on a pillow, menar es hakar behin noflos. You move the mattress or the pillow, and the money falls off by itself. Amurava b'chan on Rav Yochanan lo shen el tzorech gufo. That was only if what? If you need the pillow itself. But halacha lemaisa, if you just need the space that the pillow occupies, don't check off the muktzah. Instead, metaltalon, metaltalova, odan alav. You could just simply move the pillow with the money on it. And the fact that the end of the Mishnah, which always says the next Mishnah, is talking about a situation where you need the object itself for permitted use. Halacha lemaisa, we set up the reisha as dealing with tzarech gufo as well. Fine, Rav Chisda is just trying to create Mishnaic symmetry. Rabbi Huda Omer Af Malin, so Rabbi Huda said, you could even separate out the portion of Truma. So again, let's review this case. Truma is bottle in a ratio of 100 to 1. So if you have one part Truma that falls into 100 parts Chulin, it is bottle. But Chazal legislated that you should still remove 1/100th of the mixture. Ultimately, again, it designated as Truma. Which, again, and the logic behind that being, we don't want the Kohen to lose out. So Rabbi Huda said, you could even separate that 1/100th on Shabbos itself. Va'amai, but why are you permitted to take that out on Shabbos? I don't understand. Ha'kam attacking. We'll say, isn't that tikkun? Aren't you fixing something? So we'll say, again, let's take a step back. We said before, you can't take Trumas and Maizos on Shabbos. Why not? Because then we'll say, it's assumed to be tikkun money. You're fixing something. You're fixing the state. Before I take Trumas and Maizos, I can't eat the item. Now again, so I'm fixing the item. So I don't stand separating out the 1/100th over here. Shows me fixing the item. So Rabbi Huda holds, like Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? The Amar Truma Be'ina Machta. So this is very interesting because Rabbi Eliezer holds Truma is considered to be designated and already set aside. I'm going to say, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi, like about probably 10 lines from before it gets wide. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Truma, Hoil v'nitna lahalos achos sheyirtza, be'ina machta, kilu munachos levada ve'inu mu'ureves, hilchoch lo kamataki midi. So we'll say, when you have to separate out 1/100th from this mixture, so the halacha is, you can separate out any amount. So we'll say, so Rabbi Huda holds like Rabbi Eliezer who holds, that we view that 1/100th as if it's already separate and distinct. Right, so we view it as already having been separated. And therefore, we don't view your act of separation as if you're doing something new. Rather, we view your act of separation just as taking something that was already set aside and just moving it to a different location. This not because we learned, Sa'a Truma Shanafala Pachos Mimea Venidmu, because if you have a Sa'a of Truma that fell into less than 100 parts of Chulin, so we'll say in that case, remember, if Truma falls into a mixture that doesn't have a ratio of 100 to 1, it makes the whole thing Truma. Right? It makes the whole thing Truma, or what's called Dimua. Venidmu, and I watch this. Now, some amount of that mixture falls into a different mixture. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer midamas kitshumas vadai. Rabbi Eliezer says, we treat. So we'll say, see what's happening over here? You have a little bit of truma, or we'll call it a sa'a of truma, that falls into, we'll call it 99 sa'a of chulin. If that happens, then the entire mixture becomes dimua, becomes treated like truma. Now I have 100 sa, we'll call it of truma. Now some of that mixture falls into a second mixture. So Rabbi Eliezer says, we view the amount that came from the first mixture as complete truma. Truma vadai. The chum say, no, ein ham aduma, nidama lefi chashpin. So the chum say, no. The amount that falls from the first mixture into the second mixture, so when assessing the amount of truma that fell into the second mixture, we use the ratios from the first mixture. So we don't view the amount that came from the first mixture as truma vadai, rather we view it as partial truma. And we look at the ratio of the first mixture, and we apply that ratio to now the first mixture that got involved, that got mixed into the second mixture, to which the Gemara says, 1 second. Amar, so we'll say, so first of all, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, you see from here that Rabbi Eliezer, in that, when truma falls in to less than 100 times more chulin, halacha lemaisa, we view the entire amount as truma. And we view the truma as a separate and distinct entity. That's what's happening over here. To which the Gemara says, if you look at, yeah, so let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Imar d'sham say l'chumra, Maybe Rabbi Eliezer only says this l'chumra, l'kula mishamis. Let's say about would he allow this as l'kula sibosei. Remember again, maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds that when truma gets mixed in with chulin, and there is not enough of a ratio ultimately again to go ahead and be mavatel it, so we view it as separate and distinct truma. So we're trying to apply that now to the same thing over here, that when truma gets mixed in with 100 parts chulin, still, again, the truma is batal, but you're still going to have to separate out 1/100th of it for truma. Rabbi Eliezer is saying we view that chelek as already separated. So maybe we view truma as being separated only l'chumra, but do we say that l'kula? So the Gemara says, Elohu damar k'Rab Shimon, Radhi hozek Rab Shimon, what does Rab Shimon say? Kidisnan, sa'a truma, shenafla l'meya, v'lo hispik lagbiya, achnafla acheres. Let's listen to this case. Let's say you have one sa'a of truma that falls into 100 parts chulin. So we'll say so that, so we see what's happening. So over here, you have enough of a ratio for bittul. You have enough of a ratio. So one sa of truma that falls into 100. But what happened? V'lo hispik lahagbia ad shenaf la'acheres. But you didn't have a chance to remove the truma piece of it until another sa of truma fell in. So what's the halacha? Hare zu asura v'Rabbi Shimon matir. So we'll say again, the Chachamim say that at this point in time, the entire mixture becomes asur. Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second. Umimai dilma hasam baha pligi. Maybe to argue about the following point. The Tanakama sover afagav dinaflu b'ze'achar zeh kiman dinaflu b'vasachas dami. The Tanakama holds, Rabbi Shimon, that halach lemais, when you have one sa'ah that falls in, of truma that falls into chulin, and then another sub truma that falls into chulin, we view them as what? Falling in at the same time. Well, if they're falling in at the same time, then what? Rabbi said, then halacha lemaisa, I have two sa'a in truma, two 100 sa'a of chulin, in which case it's not batal. Rab Shimon savar, kamaisa batal b'me'a, v'ha'ati batal b'me'a b'char. Rab Shimon, on the other hand, holds that halacha lemaisa, when sa'a number one falls in, it's batal. Now I have 101 sa'a of chulin, and when sa'a number two of truma falls in, it's batal, not only in 100, but in 100 to 1. To which the Gemara says, "Chuda Amar Kerb Shimon Aloz." You're right. Tells the Kerb Shimon Aloz. The same Shimon Aloz. Omer, no sin enough bitzad ze veochel mitzad ze. So listen to this. I'll say this in general. Halacha lemaisa is as follows: if you have a case of this meduma, so I'll say so again. I have one sa'a of truma that fell into 100 sa'a of chulin. So what's taloch in such a situation? The truma is batal. Right? We'll say truma is batal in a ratio of 100 to 1. So in this case over here, the truma is batal, but I still have to separate out one sa'ah of truma. So we'll say that, let's say it's Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, well, even not Shabbos in general, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, you could have in mind, I'm going to separate out the sa'ah of truma from this side of the produce, and I'm going to eat from the other side of the produce. Which Rabbi Shimon Elazar shows you what? It shows you that halacha lemaisa, we view the truma portion as being separate and distinct even before it's actively been separated from the rest of the truma. So both sides. So we want to suggest that that's the application over here. That's Rabbi Huda's sheet in our Mishnah. Because what does Rabbi Huda say? Rabbi Huda holds that halacha lemaisa, when you have one sa'a of truma that gets mixed into 100 sa'a of chulin, so again, the truma's batal, but you still have to separate out one chilek, one sa'a of truma. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you could do that on Shabbos. But why are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Is that not fixing the produce? So the Gemara is suggesting Rabbi Yehuda holds a group Shimon Elazar, who essentially says, we view this sa'a as if it's already been separated, even though what? Even though what? It hasn't actually been separated. Umi savale kavase, but does Rabbi Yehuda really hold a group Shimon Elazar after Amud Bezabosai? Vaha miflag paligiluye. Bezabosai, he's on record as actually arguing against him. Disanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ma'alin es hameduma be'echad umeya. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can go ahead, ma'alin es hameduma, that halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and literally, ma'alin v'kirashi, v'amar kevan de'efshar le'i le'me avet oneg shabbos v'chiyah gavno, li'ten eina b'tzad zeh, v'lechol b'tzad echar, in ma'alin. So ma'alin es hameduma be'echad umeya. Rabbi Yishimon Elazar Omer, no sin eina b'tzad zeh, v'okum b'tzad zeh. So listen to this. Rabbi Huda says that halacha l'maisa, you could separate out the piece of the chilek of truma, whereas Rabbi Shimon says that no, there's no need to do that. Rather, you don't have to separate anything. Just go ahead and have in mind that you're going to separate out the piece of truma from this side and eat from the other side. So we'll say, you see, Rabbi Huda is arguing with Rabbi Shimon Elazar, to which the Gemara says, the Rabbi Huda adif from Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Einachin will say, he says that Rabbi Huda, meaning Rabbi Huda is just more makel than Rabbi Shimon Elazar. But l'maisa, Lagirashi Rabbi Huda Adifa, Mekel Tfe Parta, Vamar Kevan Diachal Litin Alav Enov Bitsadze, Falachal Bitsadze, Lahavi Metakin Balasom Alam. So let's listen to this. All Rabbi Huda is saying, they're essentially saying the same idea, which is what? Which is that Halacha Lamaisa, Truma, in this situation where you have a mixture of Truma into 100 parts Chulin. I will say, so again, let's get our facts down. When you have a mixture of Truma, right? If you have a mixture of Truma, with less than 100 parts chulin to truma, the halacha is everything becomes truma, right? But truma is batal in a 100-to-1 ratio. These are our facts so far. So fact number one, if you have true mixture of truma with less than 100 parts chulin, everything becomes truma. Fact number two, truma is batal in a 100-to-1 ratio. Fact number three, even though truma is batal in a 100-to-1 ratio, nevertheless you must what? Still separate out one part of truma. But Rabbi Huda is coming along and saying, Abba says, that what? That Allah, you could even do that on Shabbos. You could even separate it on Shabbos. Hi, how can you? It's metakin. It's not metakin. Because Rabbi Huda holds that Allah, Truma is already considered to be, when we look at that mixture, we view the chilek of Truma as already being separated out. So we don't view it as you doing something new. We view that part of Truma as already being separate and extant, right? Separate and distinct from the rest of the mixture. Therefore, your active separation of it is not considered to be something new. Reb Shimon Elazar happens to just be even more makel. And he says, it's so separate and distinct that you don't even have to actually take it out. But rather, again, you could just have in mind, I'm going to take it from the left side, and I'll eat from the right side. But essentially, they're saying the same idea. Reb Shimon Elazar and Reb Yehuda, that halacha l'maisa, the truma is considered to be separate and distinct. Or I should say, the one part of truma is considered to be separate and distinct from the rest of the mixture. And therefore, the act of actually removing it is not actually being metak. You're not actually fixing anything new, because it's already considered to be as if it's separated. Good. So I will say, fine. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Good. New Mishnah. But continuing on the same theme. Beautiful, beautiful Mishnah here. Says the Mishnah, Ha'even Shapiachav is Matal Tzidavino Feles. Let's listen to this case. So a person has a stone on top of a barrel. So let's have a stone on top of the barrel. Now remember, in this case, I need to get to the contents of the barrel. The problem is the stone is sitting on top of the barrel. So how do I get the stone off? So the Gemara says, Matal Tzidavino Feles. Vihino fellas. I can move the barrel to the side, and the stone topples off the barrel. Fine. Ha'isa ben achabios. I will say, what happens again if the barrel was amongst other barrels? What's the concern? The concern is if I tilt the barrel and the stone falls off, the stone might smash against and ruin another barrel. So what's the halacha? Magbia umata al sida vino fellas. So I'll say, in that case, what I could do is I could lift up the barrel, transport the barrel to a different location, and tilt the stone off in a different location where it's not in proximity to other barrels. Good. Similarly, Moshe alakar. Bosa, if I have money on my pillow. So what's the halacha? Menar esakar. Veinoflos. I could move the pillow, right? Tilt the pillow, and the money falls off the pillow. Hois alav lishleshes. Bosa, what happens if there's some dirt, there's some schmutz on my pillow? So what's the halacha? Mekancha bismirtot. You could wipe it off with a rag. Now, we'll say, now if you look at Rashi, mekancha bismirtot, it's almost right across in Rashi. Velo yitin alei mayim. Now, we'll say, you can't put water on the rag. Why? This or on the pillow, for that matter. Distam kar shel beged hu, ubeged shiyosu mayim hu kibus. So, what's the issue? So, you could wipe off the schmutz with the rag, but you can't put water, right? You can't put water on the pillow. Why not? Because we'll say, once you introduce water, then what does that look like? That looks like malabing. Right, that looks like laundering on Shabbos. So you could clean it with a dry cloth, but you cannot go ahead and introduce water. The Gemara says, however, Haisa Shalar, what happens if the pillow was made of leather? Then what's the halacha? No snalem mayim achetichla. So this goes back to yesterday's daf. Right? Ultimately, again, leather is considered to be non-absorbent. So because leather is non-absorbent, therefore introducing water onto the leather is not called kibus. So ultimately, again, it's not called laundering. What really Rashi points out here, it's really because leather itself is not subject to laundering. You don't launder leather. So because you don't launder leather, introducing liquid to go ahead and remove schmutz is not going to be considered to be any issue of kibbutz, any issue of laundering. Good. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. So we're going to start with the barrel case. Remember again, what did the Mishnah say? You have a stone on your barrel. I need to get to the contents of the barrel. So what's the halacha? I could tilt the barrel to get the stone off. If the barrel is between other barrels, and I'm concerned if I tilt the stone off, the stone is going to fall into a different barrel and damage that barrel, then what? Then halacha l'maisa. I can go ahead and lift up the barrel, transport it to a different location, tilt the stone off there. So it says the Gemara, that's only true if what? If you forgot the stone on the top of the barrel. So we learned this halacha before. This is only assuming that you forgot the stone on the top of the barrel. If, however, you intentionally placed the stone on the barrel on Erev Shabbos, then the barrel becomes a basis, a base for muktzah. Once the barrel becomes a basis, it may not be moved. So we'll say, Mantana, the Cholhecha, the Ika Isura, Vatera, Vatera, Tachinon, Be Isura, Lo Tachinon. So we'll say, who is the opinion who says that whenever you have saying that it's Asr, saying it is Mutter, ultimately, we involve ourselves in the movement of the permitted item, but not in the prohibited item. And I will say, now remember, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Mantana, the Masnisan Diktani, Magbia umata al tzida de islay de chitarach mitrach bechavis taviatera for lo yitala evin mamish tavi yisur. And we'll say, now listen to this interesting halacha. So what is the Mishnah teaching me? So we'll say, so I have two choices. I know I have to get the stone off the barrel. So what are my choices? Choice number one is move the stone. Choice number two is move the barrel. So who is the opinion that says that? And I will say, now, I want to point something out. You notice, by the way, there's much more exertion involved in what? Involved in what? In moving the barrel than moving the stone. So you see a very interesting principle here, that when you have a choice, quote unquote, right? When there are two options, one is going ahead and exerting yourself with a davar ha'aser versus exerting yourself with a davar ha'mutter, that we exert ourselves with a davar ha'mutter, even though what? It requires more exertion than the davar ha'aser. Who is that opinion? Because we'll say, right, if you think about this, right, it sounds a little bit counterintuitive, right? Goal on Shabbos, we would assume, is to minimize tircha, to minimize exertion. Yet, to move a little stone off a top of a barrel, I'm moving an entire barrel. So whose opinion is that? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Baruch Hanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They both say, that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What does he say? Baruch Atah Adonai Adonai Malach Olam Shakol Nei V'dvaro. This now we learned in the Mishnah, Habora kitnis biyamtiv. If a person is sifting legumes, now we'll say, remember again, legumes, kitnis. So I have to get the shells and the chaff off it. So I'm sifting it. So Beishamay omrim borer ochel va'ochel. So Beishamay says you could separate out the food. So separate out what you want and eat it. Beisil omrim borer kidarako becheiko betamchoy. Beisil says no, it's yamtiv. What's in yamtiv ochel nefesh is permitted. Sift away. Sift away, right? You could sift. Remember, the normal derech of sifting is you use the sifter to keep the psolas, to keep right the refuse inside the sieve or the sifter, and the food comes out. B'tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel, When is this so? Sha'ochel meruba ala psolas. So we'll say this is only so if the food is more than the psolas. Rashi says, Kisha'ochel meruba ala psolas, the ishakil ochel. So say, ultimately, again, when does Beis Hillel say, do borer in the normal way and just take away the psolas and leave the ochel? That's only when there's more ochel than psolas. Because we'll say, remember again, in that case, it's actually less exertion to separate out the psolas. Ava psolas meruba la ochel. But we'll say, if there's more psolas than food, divrei hakol borer va'ochel. So we'll say, everyone will agree that what? If there's more psolas than food, then what? Better to separate out the food from the psolas and not the psolas from the ochel, which means what? Rabbi Sender is minimize tircha. Ay v'ha hocha, dichi ochel meruba ala psolas dami. Shabbos say, but in this case over here, right, the ochal is meruba al psolas, right? Because again, remember, the barrel is much bigger ultimately than the stone. So the Gemara says, Hachanami kevan di bay le mishkel, lo mishtaki le yayin ad de shaki le, get rid of the oven. The case of the Gemara says, kipsolas, meruba ala ochal dami. So we'll say, in this case over here, is actually quite fascinating. Look at Rashi, kevan di bay le mishkel, lekula yayin min achaves, lo mishtaki le yayin shebeshula, ad de shakil umagbala lechaves, kipsolas meruba dami. Di bitchilas, so listen to this, so the Gemara essentially says as follows. This is quite fascinating. At some point in time, you're going to have to lift up the barrel. What does that mean? See, they're both saying, you know, you could go ahead and tilt the barrel to a certain degree, right, to get out the contents. But at a certain point in time, once the barrel goes down a certain level, if you want to get out the contents of the barrel, what are you going to have to do? You have to lift up the barrel. So the Gemara says, since at some point in time, you're going to have to lift up the barrel anyway, we'd rather have you lift up the barrel to get rid of the stone than to go ahead and take the stone out. So we'll say that's the conclusion that the Gemara reaches, which is actually really quite fascinating. That even though there is normally we look at a minimization of tircha on Shabbos, right? And therefore a minimization of tircha would mean move the stone, don't go to move the barrel. But Aloha Lamai said, since you're going to have to move the barrel at some point in time anyway, we'd rather you move the barrel to tilt the stone off of it. Interesting Gemara. People say, what happens again if the barrel was amongst other barrels? So the halach is you could lift up the barrel, take it to a different place, and tilt off the stone over there. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, we'll say first white line, Rabbi Yossi Omer, if the barrel was in the storehouse, or there were glass utensils around the barrel, you take the barrel to a different location, tilt the barrel there, allow the stone to tumble off the barrel, and then you can take the contents of the barrel. Then you could return the barrel back to its original place. So we'll say it's just a brisa that supports the Mishnah. That Allah said, for some reason, you can't tilt the barrel to get the stone off of it where the barrel is currently situated. You could pick up the entire barrel and move it to another location. We'll say, and the previous Gemara is very important because moving an entire barrel, so much tircha. So we'll say, the assumption is at some point in time, you're going to have to pick up that barrel anyway. So therefore, the Gabi Hilchos Shabbos, it's not considered to be unnecessary exertion, since at some point in time, the movement of the barrel in its entirety is going to become a necessity. Mo shalakar. Certainly, again, if you have money on the pillow, you could tilt the pillow to get off the money. So Amar Abchiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav, lo shanu ela b'shocheach. Again, we'll say that's only if you forgot the money on the pillow. Ava b'maniach. But if on Erev Shabbos, you intentionally place down the money on your pillow, then you can't move the pillow at all. Why? Nase basis ledavar ha'aser. Because the pillow becomes a basis, a base for muktzah. Amra Rabba Barachanan Ryokanan Lo Shana Litzarach Kufo. That's only true. When do we say that the pillow becomes a basis? That's only meaning that you can't use the pillow itself. You're not be permitted to tilt the pillow to get the money off it because you want to put your head down and go to sleep. Avalatzorech Mekomo, but Aloha Maisa, if you need the space that the pillow occupies, Metaltalo Va'odin Alav. Then Abba say you can pick up the pillow in its entirety and move it somewhere else. V'chein tani chia barav midifti loshana letzarech gufo aval tzorech mekoma metaltalo va'odin alav. So we'll say very interesting halacha in Hilchos Muktzah. So when it says this, we'll say follow the progression here. The Mishnah says if there's money on the pillow, you need the pillow on Shabbos. You could tilt the pillow and move the money off. That's only true when you forgot the money on the pillow erev Shabbos, because now the pillow is not a basis. So because the pillow is not a basis, you can tilt the pillow, move the money off, right? And shluf gizont, right? Sleep well. If, however, you intentionally put the money on the pillow erev Shabbos, then the pillow becomes a basis. Oh, if it's a basis, then Allah said the Gemara says, you can't tilt money off it because a basis can't be moved. When can't the basis be moved? Only when you want to use the basis itself. Zorech gufo. But if you need the space that the basis occupies, then you can move a basis. So a basis can be moved letzorech mekomo, but cannot be moved letzorech gufo. Says the Gemara, Ma'o shalakikar minar. Something again, if you left money, right? If you left money on the pillow, you can move the pillow. Amar Boshia, in this case, this is incredible. We'll start this sugya, then we'll stop. Amar Boshia, shachach arniki b'chatzer. Listen to this. What happens if you forgot your wallet in your chatzer? Right, you forgot your wallet in your front yard, right in the backyard. So what's the halacha? So what does Raboshia say? Maniach ala kikar al tinok umatatla. You could put a loaf of bread or a baby on top of the wallet and carry everything together. Amrab Yitzchak, shachach levena bechatzer. So again, if you forgot a brick in your chatzer, maniach ala kikar al tinok umatatla. You could put a baby on it or a loaf of bread on it. And ultimately, again, you could go ahead and carry it, says the Gemara. So the idea over here is, if you put something that is permitted to carry on top of the wallet or on top of the brick, so that gives you the license to carry everything. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Amar Rabbi Asi, Pam Achas Shachacho Disakya Malaya Maos Bisracha. One time, we forgot literally a sack filled with money in the Pesracha, we'll say, is like the plaza. Rashi says, Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim. And what happened? Ubo v'sholos Rabbi Yochanan. And we came and asked Rabbi Yochanan. Va'amar lohen, hinichu alea kikar otinat v'tiltalua. And Rabbi Yochanan said, just put a baby or a loaf of bread on it, and you could carry the sack of money together with the baby and loaf of bread. Ar mazutra, hilchasa, so Marzutra says, this is only true if what? If you forgot the wallet, or you forgot the brick, or you forgot the sack of money. Ravash Yamar, no. Afilu shachach nami. This is not true. Even if you forgot the wallet, even if you forgot the sack of money, this is not halacha. Lo amru kikar otinok ela lames bilvad. They both say, this license of a loaf of bread, or this license ultimately again of a baby, we'll say, was dafka a leniency brought down by a corpse. The Rabbi say, if you have a situation where halacha lemaisa, you have to go ahead and move a corpse. That's the message. We'll say corpse is mukta. So Chazal relaxed the halachos of mukta by a corpse for kavod abrios purposes, out of dignity to the dead. So they said, okay, if you need to move the corpse, fine. Put a baby on the corpse, put a loaf of bread. Look at Rashi, el lemeis. It's in the white lines of Rashi, four lines in. El lemeis, mishum kavod abrios, kishemuto b'chama. So I'll say, this is dafka in a case of where you have a compromised dignity to the corpse. The corpse is mukta. Chazal said, fine. Just put something not mukta on the corpse, and we'll view it as if you're moving the non-mukta. So put a baby there, put a loaf of bread there. But halacha lemaisa, this is not to be employed in other situations. It's only allowed in a case where there's a compromised kavod abrios, dignity of the dead. But lemaisa, to move your wallet or to move a sack of money, this license cannot be employed. So we'll just do one more line. So Gemara says, Abaye, Monach kapa kifi. So Abaye, we'll stop over today. We'll pick up Amir Tzach. We'll stop here. We're going to see that. We're going to see other strategies employed. We'll pick up with Abaye Monach kifi. We'll say, Shkoyach. Stop over for today. See, Ashkot, everyone on Zoom. Wonderful to see everyone. Have a wonderful day.